But thank you, and like men like Paul, he does so much around here.
Sure.
Invaluable. And there's no, every member of the body is vital and
yes.
important.
Yes.
The mouth can't save the little toe, I don't need you. They're all vital to the cause of Christ. They all have a purpose and a something to do, and whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, as unto the Lord. Someone said one time that if two angels were sent to earth by the Lord, one to rule a country and another to sweep the streets, that they wouldn't argue over which job, who got which job.
Right.
They both think it's an honor to do either one as unto their Lord.
Yes.
Both necessary, both vital. Necessary. Who's more important, the garbage collector or the President of the United States?
Right. Go ahead.
Huh? One time, New York City went on a garbage strike. They weren't thinking about the President. So thank you for everything. Thank you. Thank the Lord for that message. Gabe is 6'3", and I am not. lower the camera for me. But.
We put it back where it was.
Well, anyway, you're going to hear the long and the short of it this morning. I really looked up to him, though. I really did. I told Mindy at breakfast this morning, I said, the Lord really has to bless you to hear the first message if you're preaching second. You know what I mean? And I was blessed. I heard almost all of that without thinking of my own. Turn with me to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 4. Last night was Luke 24. Don't you just love to hear the gospel preached? Don't you love preaching? And by preaching, I mean gospel preaching. There's a lot of so-called preaching today. The woods are full of so-called preachers, but they're not preachers. If they're not preaching the gospel, Paul said, woe is... He said, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory in. Because this necessity is laid upon. God does the calling, like the beginning. God does the calling and the equipping and blesses the effort. It's not the man at all. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, clay pots, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not man. It's very clearly seen and heard. If you're blessed by a mere man, like those apostles who were fishermen, even their enemies had to say, where did they get this wisdom?
Right.
From God. It's evident that the excellency of the power might be of God, not men. But don't you love gospel preaching?
Yeah, sir.
This is how you know. This is the shepherd's voice. This is how you know you're one of his sheep. You love to hear his voice, and his voice is the gospel.
Right, sir.
The gospel. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Now, there's nothing foolish about preaching. It's the power of God and the wit. The preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And there's nothing foolish about it. It's infinite wisdom. It's the wisdom of God. As when Stephen stood before all those people, he's just a deacon. A servant, and they could not resist the wisdom by which he spoke to them.
Right.
It's unanswerable, irrefutable, undeniable, and with power.
Right.
They were afraid. These doctors and lawyers were afraid that they couldn't answer him. All they could do is just throw rocks at him. The truth. It's God's truth, you say. But the world calls it foolishness. This is what the world calls foolishness. What we're doing right now, the world calls foolishness. We think it's the most glorious thing ever, and we're so glad, we're so thankful that we're able to hear it. And our Lord said, blessed are they that read the words of this book. Don't you love to hear the word read? Huh? Don't you love to hear it read? Don't you love to read it? Only God's people love to read God's Word. They don't do it because they have to. They do it because it's like food. Like sheep love grass. Don't you love to read God's Word? And then have a man stand up and read it? And there's a gift to be able to read God's Word. Some are gifted to read God's Word. Our Lord came to Nazareth, his hometown. Verse 16, he came to Nazareth. Now, they said one time, Luke 4:16, he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. They said one time, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was kind of like a crow. Seriously. It was. Where? Where are you going? Dingus? Mabstadt? Rocky Mount, same way, isn't it? He came to Nazareth. That's where the Lord, God had him to be raised up. They said the same thing about Bethlehem. It was the city of David. It was a little old two-bit town. But he came, the Lord had him in Nazareth, and he spent his days in Capernaum, didn't he? A fishing village. Nothing but blue-collar nobodies from nowhere. That's where he chose to live, and that's who he chose to live with and be raised up with. Weren't they a blessed people? And he came back there where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, let's just read on down through. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now he's reading this. "Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They were looking at him. I wonder how many were looking to him. May we look to him this morning. "And he began to say unto them," he sat down, they were staring at him, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Amen. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. That's the subject and the title. These gracious words. Gospel words. Our Lord is reading and preaching the gospel right here in his hometown of Nazareth. And they wondered. Oh, may we wonder at these gracious words. Gospel word. All that he says here. Now, he stood up to read as his custom was. He came to his hometown. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That was his custom. That was what he was always doing. Whenever the Sabbath day came, the Lord was in the synagogue somewhere. He was in the temple if he was in Jerusalem, or whatever little village or town he was in the synagogue. That's where God's people are. That was his custom. That's what they said about Paul, as his manner was. That's worship of God. The things of God were his life. So it is with all of God's people. You hear somebody say, "I don't have to go to church to worship God." That person doesn't know God. What do you mean you don't have to go to church? You don't want to go be with the people of God? You don't want to hear the Word of God? You don't want to sing the praises to God? You don't want to pray with God's people to God? You don't know God. And besides, one fellow said one time, "You don't go to church. You are the church."
Amen.
That's like sheep saying, "Well, I don't have to be in the fold to be a sheep. I don't have to want to be around the shepherd to be a sheep." This was his custom. I mean, it's his habit, his manner. So it is with all the people of God. This was the Son of God. And so it is with all the sons of God. It's their habit, it's their custom, it's their life. If Christ is your life, the things of Christ are your life. The Word of Christ, the preaching of Christ, the people of Christ. His body are just as much a part of your life as the head. That's a fact. We're vitally joined together. I don't like those people. Then you're not one of the body. It was his custom. And there's some habits worth forming, aren't there? Like brushing your teeth. My parents made me go to church. I used to think, oh, they're inflicting cruel and unusual punishment on me. Didn't we, Gabe? Gabe's a preacher's kid. What are they? They're torturing me. No, they're doing the best thing that could possibly happen to a child. How many kids? How many? Don't ever hear, don't grow up. But we're raised in the nurture, and aren't we, Carrie? We're raised in the nurture. You had a faithful father and a mother, and I raised you, and your dad and your mom. You're sitting right here because of that.
Right, yeah.
That's what Paul said to Timothy. Oh, thank God for Lois and Eunice, right. Your mother and grandmother that brought you here, raised you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Yes.
Best place we could. Lord's entrusted us with souls. If we have children, He's entrusted us with their souls. And the most important thing we could do for them is have them under the sound of the gospel.
Amen.
And this public worship is the single most important aspect of a believer's life.
Right.
That's a fact. More even than private worship.
Right.
I'm telling you the truth.
Yes, sir.
The Lord said, He promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. There is no promise He'll be there with you in private. How many times? You know it's so by experience. You've been at home, you're reading the scripture, and you try and you try and you try, and you can't get anything. You can't feel His presence. Then you go to be with the people of God. Because He's promised. Because heaven's not going to be you and the Lord.
Right.
Heaven's going to be a vast congregation. The more, the merrier, really. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Nothing's enjoyable by yourself. His custom was. Went into the Senate, y'all, on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. No man spake like this man. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Here's the book of Isaiah. Find something to read. He wrote it. He's the author. Do you know this book? If they had known Him, they would have said, "Oh, Word of God incarnate, speak to us now." They delivered Him the book. And when He had opened the book, He didn't need the book. He is the book. It's written. And He found the place where it was written. And He could have read from many places. Isaiah. I often mistakenly say, turn to the Gospel of Isaiah. It is, isn't it? It's the Gospel of Isaiah. They are they which testify of Christ. All the Scripture to Him give all the prophets witness. And he could have read from Isaiah chapter 6.
Couldn't he?
The Lord high and lifted up. I saw the Lord. That's Him. That's Christ. He could have read from Isaiah chapter 6. A virgin shall be born. Call His name Emmanuel. This day, that Scripture is fulfilled. He could have read from Isaiah 9, couldn't he? A child is born, a son is given. Call His name Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He could have read from Isaiah 11, the rod of Jesse, the branch. He's here. He could have read from Isaiah 25, He'll swallow up death in victory. Lo, it'll be said in that day, this is our God. We've waited on Him. This is our God. He'll save us. This day is that Scripture fulfilled. Here. He could have read from Isaiah 32, a king shall reign in righteousness. A man shall be a hiding place. This day is that scripture fulfilled. He could have read from Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, mine elect. He could have read from Isaiah 49. The light of the Gentiles. Covenant of the people. I've given him for a covenant of the people. This day is that scripture fulfilled in your ears. He could have read from Isaiah 53. Man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, as a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This day is that scripture fulfilled in your ear. But he read from Isaiah 61. And let's look at it. Isaiah 61, verse 18. Gracious words. He said, verse 18. Don't turn back there. Stay in Luke. This is Isaiah 61, okay, that he's reading. Stay in Luke. Luke 4:18. He read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, because he hath anointed me. And I don't want to, we never dramatize scripture. We never try to emulate the way our Lord, no man expects that. But I would have loved to have heard him reading this. I know that he put the emphasis on me.
Yeah.
They are they which testify of me, he said. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, do you know what that name Christ means? What's it mean? Anointed. That's the exact word. That's the Greek word. Anointed. Christ. Christo means anointed, the anointed one. He said, I am the anointed one.
Right. Amen.
I'm the Christ. There is no other. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. I am the anointed one. The Holy Spirit of God hath anointed me. Now, what does that say about all these false fellows around that you hear that talk about we have the anointing?
Mm-hmm.
You hear that a lot, don't you? Mm-hmm. We have anointed preaching here. That's they're antichrist.
Right.
It's a fact. They came to John. John chapter 1, didn't he say, who are you? He said, I am not the Christ.
Right. That's right.
They didn't ask him if he was the Christ.
No.
He made it perfectly clear. I am not the Christ. Right up front. Some of these fellows today, they leave you kind of in doubt, don't they? They don't leave God's people in doubt. Stranger's voice they won't hear. Any man, woman that stands up and said, the anointing is upon me.
Mm-hmm.
You know immediately, no, it's not.
Right.
But Christ stood up. He's the only one that could say this. He's the only free man who could say this. The Spirit of God is upon me. John said this. In John's Gospel, he said, God hath speaketh, he that God sent speaketh the words of God. God giveth not the Spirit by measure to him.
Right.
Full of the Spirit. Oh, the fullness of God dwelt in him. The fullness of the Spirit of God. Now, John did say the anointing that we have of him. And he earlier said it's the unctioner. That is, the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ, like the oil of gladness, the gospel, and anoints us with it. But we're not the anointed. Christ is the anointed one.
Yeah.
He's declared, Romans 1 says, declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness. This is how you know who he is. The only holy man who ever really lived.
Yeah.
We don't go around talking about calling ourselves holy men, do we? Now, the Scriptures does call these people holy men.
Sure.
Holy men spake, but they didn't say it about themselves.
That's right.
But Christ did.
Amen.
And the anointed. The Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Paul said to young Timothy, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. Justified, declared by the Spirit of God. Look back at Luke 3. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who bore witness of Christ.
Yes, sir.
You know, Christ came to bear witness of the Father, didn't he? But the Father and the Spirit bore witness of Christ. They both said, this is He.
Yeah.
This is the one you come to. Christ came to make the Father known to His people. The Father makes Him known to them. Makes His Son known. Luke chapter 3, look at verse 21-22. And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying. I'd never really read that before. He was baptized and he was prayed. Heaven opened. Have you ever had heaven open when you prayed? Now, too often I'm like David. The heavens are brass.
Right, right, brother.
Buddy, when he prayed, all heaven opened up. God opened up. Yes, my son. He always hears him. Heaven and the Holy Ghost, verse 22, descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice from heaven said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Don't you love that? Chapter 4, verse 1, look at this. It says, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. He's full of the Holy Ghost, without measure. He hath anointed me. All right, look at our text, verse 18. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel.
Amen.
There you have it. God had one son, sent him to earth. You know what his occupation was? A preacher. That makes this office pretty high, doesn't it? I'll just be honest with you. I know Gabe and Walter feel the same way. Joe, where are you, Joe? There you are. And every other man I know, that sometimes you're embarrassed to introduce yourself as a preacher.
Sure.
Aren't you?
No.
Because of these fools out there. You don't want to be associated with these fellas that call themselves preachers. You don't want people to link you with these fools out there. But God's preachers are not fools.
Right.
And this office and this what we're doing now is not foolish. God's son was a preacher. That makes this a vital thing. In fact, this is the most, what the world calls the most foolish, useless vocation, God says this is the most important one. He preached. Preach the gospel. He said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To the poor. Poor in spirit. You remember his Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. The world doesn't know anything about that. The world said, blessed are the rich. You know, what do you mean poor? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. But you know something? And poor in spirit means those that are beggars need, don't have anything, like blind Bartimaeus.
Right.
Everything he needed was a handout, was grace. He didn't have anything. He had to depend on somebody to give him everything. Please help me. Somebody help me. That's what we are in the Spirit.
Right.
We have nothing to commend us to God. We have no righteousness. We have no goodness. The Gabe clearly preached to us. Have no redeeming qualities. Lord, help me, please. We're beggars before. Lord, would you have mercy on me? Would you give me grace? Would you keep me? Would you teach me? Would you lead me? Would you guide me? Would you feed me? Would you save me? And take me all the way to glory. We're beggars in that sense. Not poor. But you know, our Lord actually came to the literal poor.
Yes, He did.
He who was rich became poor. And it was the poor people, seriously now, people, it was the poor people who heard him gladly. The common people heard him gladly. And one time he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of heaven? Why is that? Because if you're rich and increased with goods, you don't need anything. You certainly don't need grace. You don't need a handout. You got all you need. And our Lord warned us of that. And we're living in a time and a society, the most affluent society in the history of the world. And it's dangerous. Our Lord, through Moses, warned the children of Israel over and over again, to beware when you get into the promised land and build you houses with ceilings. They didn't have houses with ceilings for years. But beware when you get and you get houses and land, you're going to forget God. Anybody guilty? And maybe one of the best things that could happen in this country is for the economy to collapse. I'm serious. He talked about Mexico. We've been down there. You need to go to a place like that. The gospel, the Lord sent the gospel through Walter Gruber and down there years and years ago to the poorest part. He didn't go to Mexico City, 25 million people. He went to the Yucatan Peninsula where the Mayan Indians lived like they did thousands of years ago. Dirt floors and grass huts. And the Lord sent the gospel down there. And we've seen the radical transformation of people in captivity to idolatry. Giving their few pesos to this corrupt priest. And the Lord bring the gospel down there, and they're poor people cooking on fire, and the Lord sends the gospel. And buddy, you're given life, everything. And they still poor, aren't they, Ron Tanner? They went down there with Gabe and Hannah and Mindy and maybe somebody else in here. Carrie. They're still poor, but they're happy.
There you go.
They've got the gospel, and they've got food, and they've got raiment. Now, what did the Lord say about
that? That's what He
said. I'm come to preach the gospel to the poor. One brother, Scott Richardson, used to say, Christ is all to you if He's all you got.
Yeah.
Is Christ really all to you? Do you esteem Him more highly than His Word, more highly than gold? See, I came to preach the good news to the poor. To the poor. All right, here's the good news. He said, I came to preach the gospel. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. When our Lord sent His apostles out, He said, go preach the gospel. Heal the sick. It's the first thing He said. You know what heals us? It's this gospel.
Yeah, that's what does it.
We're brokenhearted. Like Gabe said, most people know that they're sinners. Well, God's people, the Spirit of God brings it really home to them. He breaks their heart over sin. Oh, how blessed is the man, is the woman, is the young person whom the Lord gives them a broken and a contrite heart.
Yes.
Who mourn over their sin before God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. God, who's done all this for me all of my life, and I didn't give Him a thought for years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Christ, who came, lived for me, and I didn't even give Him a thought. Didn't care if He lived or died. And you find out He did it for you, and you, oh my, breaks your heart. Then you hear this gospel. The very one we crucified says, be of good cheer.
Yeah.
Let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
You going to deny me? I won't deny you.
Amen.
This heart, this same gospel that breaks the heart heals it, doesn't it? Oh, it says over in 1 Kings, I believe it is, oh, this is for those that know the plague of their own heart.
Oh.
Only for those that know the plague of their own heart. We sing that song, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others are calling, do not pass me by. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by Thy grace. I came to heal the brokenhearted. And you know what? The Lord literally, the brokenhearted over sin, but the Lord literally heals those that have broken hearts over bereavement. The gospel is the good news. Not only of our Lord coming to be made sin for us and giving us His righteousness, but is of a living, reigning, ruling Lord who rules and overrules everything, who ordained everything for us, who works all things together for our good. Nothing by chance. It's all according to His infinite purpose. It's for His glory and for our good, and absolutely no mistake. And He ordered it. Even the death of our dearest loved ones.
Right. Yeah, right.
Even the sickness. Even the sadness.
Yes.
Even the losses. Mm. Even the persecution, the trials, the tribulations. All of that. He sent it. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. It is I. I did this. Trust me. Trust me." And someday, we're going to see. We're going to know as we've been known. Maybe the Lord's going to open the books of our lives. We spend our years, the Scripture says, as a tale that's been told. Our stories are in the Scriptures just like Moses, just like Jacob. Just, yes, they are. They're all written. It's all ordained by the Lord. And maybe you're going to have enough time, won't we? Maybe you'll show us. Look here what I did.
Right.
Look here. And you didn't want this to happen.
Yeah.
This had to happen.
Yeah.
This had to happen.
Yeah.
If this hadn't happened, this hadn't happened.
Right.
And then this hadn't happened. Brother Scott said, if you knew what the Lord knows, you would order your life exactly like He ordered it. You wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
This heals your broken heart, doesn't it? I sure miss that person. If I had my way, I wouldn't have lost them. But that's the Lord.
That's right.
Trust Him.
Yeah.
Trust Him. This is the only thing that will heal our broken heart. It really, the only thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it?
It's the Lord. I don't know how the world deals with losses. Do you? I don't know how. But even we sorrow. Our Lord didn't rebuke us for sorrow. He said, we do sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. We have a good hope. If we've lost someone we love dearly and their hope was in Christ, one day soon we're never going to part.
Right.
You see how important this is? Do you love that person that you're married to? Your father, your mother? You know what the most important thing of all is? You're going to lose them. You're going to lose them.
Yeah, right.
It's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
So you know what? They need to know Christ.
Right.
If you don't want to lose them forever.
Yes.
If they know Christ, you won't. Even those who've lost children didn't know the Lord. And I've preached some funerals of, oh my, it's tough. I don't know. I hope I never have to go through that. But their hope is, the hope of a believing parent is, it's the Lord. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? You know, that's what Abraham came. He was interceding. He wanted the Lord to bring Lot and his wife, and maybe he knew his sons-in-law, and Abraham, maybe he had some people there he loved. You know he did. Lord, please, would you save 10?
Yeah.
He didn't.
No.
And all he could say was, let the judge of the earth do right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to question him. I'm going to trust him.
Yes.
Job said this. This is the most remarkable, one of the most remarkable statements in all of Scripture. Though he slay me, I trust him.
That's the truth. Amen.
That man knows the Lord.
Yeah,
I want to know him like that. This is the only thing that heals broken hearts over sin, broken hearts over trials and trouble. Only thing. The truth. The gospel. Good news. Good news. Thy God reigneth. Look at verse 18. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. Now the Pharisees said, we be Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to anybody. What idiots. How stupid. Right then and there, Brother Walter, they were under Roman rule. They didn't dare say or do anything. Scared to death of Pharaoh. Or Caesar.
Right.
We're not under captive to anybody. They're held captive by Satan at his will right then.
That's right.
So are all men and women.
Right.
But you know what? And the Lord came to deliver his people who held captive by Satan. A greater than he, a stronger than he came for his people.
Yes, he is.
To bind him, the strong man. To take his goods from him.
Yeah.
We were under his captivity. Everybody in here, every child of God was under his captivity. Children of wrath, even as others. But God sent Christ to lead captivity captive. And that means not only Satan, he's going to parade down in chains. It means us who were captive. He leads us captive. Now we're willing captive. Right? We're not free in that sense. You know, the scripture does not say the truth shall set you free.
No, it don't.
Doesn't say that.
No.
Doesn't say the Son shall set you free. You don't want set free.
Yeah.
Like a dog.
No.
I had a dog. And the minute I let him off the leash, he's gone. You want the Lord to have hold of you, don't you?
Yeah.
Says he'll make you free.
Amen.
Free from the law.
Exactly.
And you know what he makes you free? What he makes you want to do when he makes you free is to sit right beside him.
Right.
Don't let me loose. So I came to deliver the captive, to lead captivity captive. Barnard used to say, the only free man is the Lord's servant.
Yeah.
He's free from Satan. He's free from the world. He's free from the bondage of the things of this world.
Yeah.
But you know, the Lord did come to deliver his people from this captivity, sin, Satan, the world. He did. Didn't he? He did. God's people are no longer under bondage to the law. They're no longer under captivity to Satan. No longer under the dominion of sin. We once were dead in sin. Had no pleasure in righteousness. Romans 6 is all about that, isn't it?
Right.
And he delivered us. We're led by the Spirit of God. But don't you feel at times, you know, from Romans 6 comes what chapter? Romans 7. And Paul said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, my spirit, bringing me into captivity. Don't you feel at times that you're still under captivity? Captivity to bound by the flesh? Blind captivity to lust of your flesh? Don't you feel like it? The world. Like Paul said, with the flesh I serve sin, but with the Spirit I serve the law of God. And Paul said, who shall deliver me? I thank God, he said, through Christ Jesus my Lord. Christ said, I am come to deliver. So, you know, we come to hear this gospel to be delivered over and over.
Amen.
And over.
Amen.
And
right.
Over again. Like washing.
Yep.
When our Lord washed feet in John 13, he said, do you know what I've done unto you? He said, you're clean.
Yeah.
You're clean, but your feet are dirty.
Yeah.
Every day, day in, whatever touches this earth, that's us. We're in this earth. We're in the world. And we get defiled by it. We get filth. The filth of it gets on us and in us. And we come to hear this gospel. And don't you feel like this gospel, the blood of Christ, washes you clean all over again? And you no sooner step out the door, you're dirty.
Yeah.
You feel the lust of the flesh. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Come to this gospel delivers us. I've come to preach the gospel. Recovering of sight to the blind. I've come to give sight to the blind. That blind man in John 9 said, I know this. I once was blind, now I see. I once was too, people. I was blind to who God is. Couldn't see God. Now I do. I see the heavens declare his glory. The firmament showeth handiwork. Day unto day others speak. Don't you? The sun comes up. God's people see God's hand in everything, don't they? They see God everywhere. The unbelievers can't see God anywhere.
Right.
The fool has said there is no God. And we say, can't you see? No, they can't. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent. This is what he was preaching. How blessed we are. God has chosen us to make himself known to us.
Amen.
I'm your God. He opens our eyes to see yourself. I once was blind to myself.
Yeah.
Like that prodigal in the hog pen, thinking, oh, this is a good life. In the hog pen. Anybody? And he brought him to himself. What does that mean? He saw himself. He just woke up one day and said, God woke him up and said, look at me. Look at what I've done to me. Look at what I've done to my father. Why did I do this? How could I get myself in such a mess? I tell you what I'm going to do. Blind to self, blind to Christ. Saw no beauty in him that we should desire him. No form or comeliness, no need of Christ. You know why people don't come to worship? And professing. Some professing believers are very erratic, sporadic at it. Very, you know. It's not lack of commitment, it's lack of need.
Yeah. There you go.
They don't need him.
Yeah. Right.
God's people need him. They love him. They really do. You that are married, this is a marriage. It's a union. Christ and his people, his bride, is a union. Do you husbands and wives, do you ever, on a day, you think, I don't know if I'll go home tonight or not?
Yeah.
Not if you love that person. That person, your life, one with that. That's the same way it is with believer. You need Christ. You must have Christ. And once I had no need, and now I need him. That's amazing, isn't it? You're looking at amazing grace. Gabe told his story, what great things the Lord had done for him. You're looking at amazing grace right here. I'm amazing grace personified.
That's right.
Sight to the blind. He said, I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised. Bruised and mangled by the fall. Bruised. Satan flashes and beats. The law, conscience, everything just beats you up. Wounds you, bruises you. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And Christian and hopeful. Faithful. Christian and faithful, his constant companion. We're on that road to the celestial city. Oh, don't you love it? And it says, and the evangelist said, don't get out of the way. Don't get out of the way. No matter how good looks over here, by Fair Meadows, Vanity Fair, he said, beware of that place. He said, you'll fall asleep if you get out of the way. And I've given you a role. He said, I've given you promises and the Word of God to put in your bosom to keep you from getting out of the way. Lo and behold, they walked along. I love that story. They were walking along and talking of good. They would say to one another, Christians say to faithful, said, let's have good concourse this day. They weren't sad. They were talking of, that's the way we ought to be. Let's have good fellowship today. Let's talk about the Lord. Well, they did. Well, lo and behold, one of them said, look, here's some people over here. This way is easier. That looks easy. They're not in any trouble.
Yeah.
Let's try it. And they walked, got out of the way, and got over there, and they got so complacent and so lazy, they fell asleep. Mm-hmm. And they woke up in Doubting Castle.
Yeah.
The giant despair took them captive and put them in a dungeon in the darkness. Both of them, down in this dungeon, in Doubting Castle, full of doubts and fears, under the dominion of the giant despair. And daily he would bring them out of the dungeon and start lashing up, filling them full of despair, until they finally, I think it was Christian, said, I want to die. I'm going to kill myself. We'll never get out of here. Christ said, I am come to set at liberty them that are bruised. He's the key.
Yeah.
One morning, the sun came up, and Christian said,
I've got the key. We can get out of here.
Amen.
That key is trust, faith, hope, right. Looking to the Lord.
Yeah.
Faith that He's given us. And lo and behold, they went out and that key unlocked all the door and it got out of the doubting castle, out from under the dominion, the bondage, and the beatings of that giant despair. And they went out into the sunlight and set back on the way to the celestial city. He said, I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised. This gospel. And to preach, verse 19, the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, there's nothing acceptable about any of us.
There you go. Exactly.
Nothing acceptable. We're totally unacceptable. That's what Gabe said. See, we're just saying the same thing. Huh? We are just repeating what the Lord said.
Yeah.
Nothing acceptable about us. Nothing. Nothing. God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that didn't seek the Lord. That was me. That was you, wasn't it? None righteous. No, none good. No, not one. Not one. But the Scripture says, He hath made us accepted.
Amen.
Where? In the Beloved. Our God's Son is more than acceptable.
Yeah.
He's altogether loved us to the Father. Well-beloved Son. He said, all that come unto Him, God, by Him, He will accept.
Yeah.
This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Whenever the gospel is preached, and it's preached to the poor, it's preached to those that are in bondage, it's preached to sinners. This gospel's for sinners. This is for no goods.
Mm-hmm.
This is for no goods. Harlots and publicans, the
yes.
Chief of sinners. This gospel, this is a faithful saying. The Lord said it. It's true. It always will be true. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Ask Mary Magdalene. Ask the thief on the cross. Ask Rahab the harlot. They'll tell you.
Amen.
It's true.
Amen.
It's faithful. Joshua came for me.
Yeah.
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that everyone that applies, this is the acceptable year.
Right.
Have you ever applied for a job? Want to be accepted? You put in your application? You hope they accept you? This is the day. He's accepting all applications for mercy.
Right. That's right.
Anybody need mercy?
Right. Yeah.
Here's my here.
Yeah.
Accepted. Close the book.
Yeah. That's right.
Close the book. Come on. Mercy. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Yeah.
Christ lives right now.
That's right.
If you heard that, He's the one that said it.
Right. Amen.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you.